Lord God, we ask that this time may be a time for your words, for your thoughts. Lord God, may we understand that it is morning, it is early, but Lord God, may we clear our minds of everything that is happening inside our busy lives. May we be able to focus on your word. In your son's name we pray, amen. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. This is one of those verses that it comes about and it puts a big question mark in your mind. What in the world is going through the mind of God when he says this? So Luke chapter 14, we're going to be studying here, verse 26. If everyone can read this with me. If anyone comes to me and not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. All right, so we go through this life and we say we can't use this word hate, but here we are in this verse. And God says, if you do not hate these things, you cannot be my disciple. And you're taken aback because you're saying, I'm not supposed to hate anyone. And if we overthink this, then we're looking at Scripture and overthinking the Scripture. We're not getting at the heart of what the Scripture means. Because there is a parallel inside this verse that goes back to the book of Deuteronomy. I'll read this one, if you would. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife you embrace, or your friend who is at your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there's something that God says, if anyone leads you into the worship of another god, you have to reject them. And so you take a look at two of these verses, and they parallel each other, and says, if anything is before God, then you yourself, theologically thinking, Deuteronomy 5:7. Let's read this together. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay, so as a Lutheran pastor, what do you think my next thought would be? As a Lutheran pastor, I have a question for you. What does this mean? And as a Lutheran congregation, your response would be, we should... It's almost like you've heard this one before. Some of you get to learn it here really soon. And so here we are looking at what does it mean to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And so the key word, I believe, there is the love. Because in this life, there's a lot of things to love. And the problem being is that sometimes... ladies, you know this, that guys can put a lot of things before you, right? Wow, that was a huge elbow. Wow, all right? So, guys, we know that we can put a lot of things before our wife, like job. Anyone put their job before their wife? Anyone put hunting before their wife? How about fishing? Okay, so just to let everybody in the audience know, we're mostly in purple, and you're drawing closer to Lent. I realize that. We're looking forward to Lent here and being in mourning, coinciding with the Vikings season opener. Gotcha. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. And so I've also heard that people have said this morning, you might want to hurry it up because the Vikings play at 12. Well, God's not going to look too kindly on the Vikings if we're putting the Vikings before the worship of God, right? We tried to tell the Packers that, and that doesn't work at all in Wisconsin, all right? So let me tell you, it doesn't work there either. But on a serious note, what does God think when something like the Vikings becomes greater? This summer, looking at 22,000 young people worshiping in the Viking Stadium, and literally looking back and saying, as I'm there, I'm saying, wow, this is what true worship really looks like. Unfortunately, now we've vacated that spot, and there's worship that goes on there that's not true worship. And the problem being is that we can, you know, guys, we can put stuff in front of what's really important. The problem being is that what's really important is not what we do. It's not what we think. It is who we put our faith, trust, our fear, all of that. All right? And the problem being is that even greater than our wives is God. Even greater than everything else is God. And it is difficult to put God first, because we literally have to say, what is the best thing for our wife? What's the best thing for my children? What do I want to carry on in my kids' life? And it has to be that they follow God no matter what. And so we were talking about that as the PPC, our board of directors. And so we were talking about that, and we took a look at, okay, what does God mean when he wants you to carry out the Great Commission? When he's talking about go disciple all nations, is it a thing where in congregations today, do we have problems with that in this congregation? In congregations around the nation, are there any similarities? And so, interesting enough, is Jesus is calling all these this great crowd. This great crowd is following him, and he knows that they'll all abandon him one day. And he's heartbroken over that, but he still calls the crowd to have faith, to have a pure faith. And there's a problem because the people got in the way. And let's talk a little bit about this. This is Tom Rainier. He goes around and helps churches out. He puts out a weekly video and podcast trying to help churches ask better questions. And he has this short clip for us. It usually works. All right, so he's going to have to hit the reset button, and hopefully soon that we can get the audio working. It just takes a couple seconds sometimes. All right, so you guys won't get this clip, but if you notice in this title, he goes over why some church members don't want their churches to grow. True or false? Really? Is there reasons why this congregation does not want this church to grow? Can you think of any? Before I give you his take, are there any reasons? So Tom Rainier says there's 7 main reasons why church members may not want their church to grow. And you guys can take notes on this. All right? 7 reasons why. All right? And they are loss of familiarity. Loss. Does anyone like change in here? Anyone like change? You don't even like to put it in your pocket. All right? Because it's annoying. But the change we're talking about is if new people come in and they start sitting down in the pews, there is a loss of familiarity, because the people that you used to know that sat by you every single Sunday, that's a change. Number 2, loss of memories. All right, what is it going to look like if new people start coming in here and they don't dress like you? What about if they get on a committee and they start changing things? And it's not like you did it for 20 to 30 years. So he said there's a small problem in people's minds. Number 3, loss of comfort. This might be our main problem, right? Loss of comfort. Do you like someone coming in and sitting in your spot? This is our main problem. We love people coming in and sitting somewhere else, right? There's plenty of spots right here. You wonder why no one sits right here. But we are uncomfortable when someone sits in our spot. Loss of power. Number four, loss of power. This is interesting. When you get new people into a congregation, there are some people who have held positions for 20, 30 years, and that's their position. That's their influence. And if new people start coming in, they don't want to lose power inside the congregation, because inside the congregation, they have status, and they are able to change things at will. New people come in, they don't listen to the old regime. Number five, loss of perceived intimacy. Guys, I know this is when you get close to someone, sometimes you stop allowing others to get close to you. And so over time, you can only let a few people in. So you're used to saying hello to those same people. And Tom was like, okay, after a couple of years, sometimes life doesn't always go kindly. And the 4 to 6 people you're normally saying hello and connecting with, the problem being is that over time, you know that some of those people are not here anymore. So your 6 can go to 5, and then 4, and all of a sudden you're 2, and you're looking around and saying, where did everybody go? And you don't want anybody new, because you were used to only those people being inside your little small huddle. Number 6, loss of... Do Lutherans have a problem with this? Do we like what we like? Maybe. Loss of worship style. Tom is saying that anytime you have new people come in, especially young people, they tend to shake things up a little bit. And the more seasoned veteran Lutherans tend to not like the newer Lutherans because they like music that's not in the hymnal. All right, number 7, loss of... He says anytime you change worship time, people get angry. Really? Really? And so he said, literally, this is a quote from him, members would rather see the church decline in number rather than see any changes. This is what he said. Members would rather see the church close than see new people come to Christ. New people worshiping Jesus. Because all of this is a loss to us. And so very interesting is that if all of these are true, then we look at what Jesus says and says, he says, unless you leave everything behind and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And the problem we're looking at today is more and more we get comfortable with what we have and what we think is ours, rather than saying, God, what is it that you want me to do with what you have? What about my life have you equipped me in order to share with others? Lord God, with the time I have left, where do you want me to serve? And so we will make it about Christ and who God is in our life. It changes how we worship together, because we would rather see someone come off the street, sit down and learn about God's grace, and then say, hey, I'll see you in heaven one day. And it won't matter where we're sitting. It won't matter who else is there blocking our view. You'll be there with me. And so the most important thing is that you learn about who Jesus is and what he has done for you. And I don't care where you sit. Take my spot. But I would rather you see you escape the ravages of hell and sit in the glory looking at God. And so here, please sit down. And if you have any questions, let me know. Because knowing Christ and who he is has been the most important thing in my life, and I would rather give up everything else that you stand with me in heaven rather than not know where you're going to be later today, because you may not make it home. But I want you to make it to your real home. So who is Jesus to me? And so the question being is, what does it mean to put God first? It means in here, it doesn't matter what we're wearing, it doesn't matter who we are. It means that we put God first and serve him only and say, what is it that God wants me to do today? How can I serve? It could start from the person right next to you in the pew. You could meet somebody here, and they might be serving you later today at lunch, and they might have the worst day ever. And what you say and what you do could ultimately change how their day goes. You could have a family member that needs someone to come alongside them right now. We just don't know. And so here, what does it mean to follow Christ? It means I'm not looking at myself, because that's what Satan wants me to do. Satan wants me to say, how do you, your needs, how do they go first? And I'm saying, even though I'm going to struggle through it, Lord, how can you help me to make sure that I put others first? That's hard. That's difficult. That's a struggle. And Jesus, looking out at the crowd, looking at all of us, knows that we're going to struggle. Yet at the same time, how is God put first in our lives? We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are going to struggle with this each and every day. We're going to struggle with our spouses. We're going to struggle with our families. We're going to struggle with other congregation members of how we can put you first. Help us understand, Lord, that, Lord God, this is critical to following you. And the first reaction we have might be that we don't really want to follow you. That could be something that we put inside our minds. Lord God, help us understand that that's Satan putting in our minds that, Lord God, we're number one. Lord God, we're going to need help each and every day. Be with us, Lord, as a congregation, that we put your words into action. Help us understand that we need to fear, love, and trust in you above all things, even more each and every day. Help us remember that even as we look to the waters that you might send to us in rain, the water that we drink, the water we use in showers or bathrooms, Lord, help us remind us of the waters of baptism that cleansed us because your word was there. Help us understand that your word is the most important thing in our lives because it points us to a true home. Help us understand that, Lord God, this group of people here is set before you. That even in this room, there are people who are struggling, people who don't understand what your word means. Help us, Lord, follow your word each and every day. In your son's name we pray. Amen.